Hello, everyone. Bruce Edwin here, HollywoodSentinel.com, Subnormal Magazine, back with you today speaking with Nomi Prinz. Nomi is a financial expert, worked at Bear Stearns, Goldman Sachs, has got a great new book out called Collusion, How Central Bankers Rigged the World. And Nomi, it's so nice of you to be with us here today. Thanks for being back. Nomi, I just checked the news here as we've been speaking, and it looks like, surprise, you know, Federal Reserve, according to their Twitter announcement, fined Citigroup $8.6 million for improper execution of residential mortgage-related documents. And, you know, so this is this surprising to you? Because I don't typically see the Federal Reserve making, you know, actions like this. Do you?
They do actions like this in the backdrop. It's for people like us to pick up on them and not have it just be a news item that sort of flows by. And it's always that sort of the mainstream media picks up on the smaller types of fines. But you know, overall, in the past 10 years, the financial crisis, the biggest banks in the country, including Citigroup, have collectively paid over $160 billion, that is billion with a B, fine for, you know, nefarious practices, some of which were actually felonies, some of which are simply settlements done with bleeding, you know, for mortgages, for foreign exchange, for, you know, for creating fake accounts, for all sorts of things. And what is surprising, though, is that while all of this is being caught and noted and mentioned and some monies go back and forth, is that there hasn't been a stronger voice from the Federal Reserve or Congress or anywhere to really reform the banking system and to basically nip in the bud all these practices that we later have to find out about and then find after they've hurt people.
Right.
After this misleading has really changed people's finances and lives and perhaps where they live, you know, that's the problem, that there is this like tone deafness to people, for example, at the Fed, who could decide, you know what, maybe our banks are too big. You know, maybe we should really restructure them. Maybe we shouldn't allow them to have it as easy to get access to people's loans, create securities out of them, make tons of money, and then later find out that they've lied about stuff or committed fraud along the way, and then we find them. You know, maybe we should just do our job better from the get-go. I mean, that's the problem. That's the part that should be, you know, happening.
Interesting. That makes sense. Now, I'm looking at your book, and listeners, readers, again, check this out. You can pick up Nomi's book, Collusion, How Central Bankers Rigged the World. Pick it up at your local bookseller. Visit NomiPrinz.com. But I want to just stress, you know, this book, to some people, they hear this, and they think, oh, fake news, conspiracy. Well, no, this is facts, people. And Nomi, you've got in here just page after page of works cited and sources and, you know, documentation of facts, factual, you know, citations from everywhere from, you know, Bloomberg to Reuters and on. But I guess what I want to ask you is your thoughts, your opinion or theory on some of the so-called conspiracy theories related to this topic. And what I mean by that is, you know, many people we hear believe when we talk about this topic about central bankers, you know, controlling the economy, they've got it rigged to their benefit and at the exploitation of the masses. Are there any specific groups behind this? You know, we've read about groups like, say, the Bilderberg Trilateral Commission or, you know, royal family or certain Rockefellers or members like this. Is there any facts to that in your viewpoint, or is that all just nonsense?
I think the term conspiracy has a lot of different meanings, and there's a lot of negative connotation that the idea is that these people, like, worked in, you know, some, like, dark corner or some, like, castle somewhere and decided how they were going to build and then rebuild it for themselves or whatever. And I think that's not really what's going on there. There is a conspiracy in that it's a collective group of people, both at the heads of public institutions as well as private institutions and the families that have been behind, you know, owning shares in these private institutions. The Rockefeller family, that's not a conspiracy. They were involved in holding shares in Chase for decades, for over a century, as were the Morgans in J.P. Morgan, which is now part of J.P. Morgan Chase. I mean, this is real publicly available information. It's on the websites of the banks themselves, as well as the libraries of documents from these families.
Right.
So a lot of what I do, a lot of that put together is information that really shows the connections between factual data that shows the interest that families or central bankers, given their decisions or strategies, collectively have together, and how that impacts everyone else. But the result of, for example, and it's not conspiracy or rocket science, it's just, it goes back actually to basic math, right?
Yes.
Is that if you create $22 billion worth of money that did not exist before, and it doesn't go to real people, it goes to buy financial assets, it goes into banks to buy assets off of their books, so they have a little more cash and a little more breathing room, and it doesn't go to, like, everyday people, well, it's not a conspiracy to know that, therefore, it's not going to help regular people to the extent it helps these institutions to where it goes. I mean, it's just...
Sure.
If someone gives your neighbor like $1 million and gives you like zero, your neighbor is going to be better off. I mean, it's not, you know, and so a lot of what I try to do, that's why I have so many sources from around the world. This book was a global book. I had, you know, research team around the world who knew the languages in their respective countries, could get real documents and real information, which was then translated for the book and in those citations, is because a lot of this doesn't just happen in the U.S. Of course, it is global. And a lot of everything in my book, beyond the conversations that I had with people that I called, and I know they're all check votes with these people, it's publicly available information. It's just that I've aggregated it in one place to show how
yes.
it works.
Very fascinating. There's so many questions I want to ask you. What is the solution? I know in the, you know, not to give away the last couple of chapters of the book, which I thoroughly enjoyed, but what can people do? I mean, this is such a global, as you've said, problem. It's so, you know, powerful. The people that have in these positions of self-created power, you know, I'm alleged, presuming. What is the solution? What can everyday person do to help, I guess, be aware is what you're suggesting, right? Be aware and start to talk about it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that the term awareness popped into my mind as you were saying that, Bruce. I mean, that's really, you know, the biggest thing any of us can do is obviously be aware of what impacts us. And be aware, for example, if central bank reduces interest rates so that other banks, private banks, can have access to cheaper money, then that impacts, for example, our savings rates. It impacts the risk that's in the stock market, where a lot of this money is ultimately dumped to buy the shares of these institutions, buy these institutions, receiving money from central banks and so forth, and just be aware that we're part of that, even if we don't have money in this market, because, or in any market, whether we do or don't, are somehow implicated. Even if you just have a savings account, you're not getting enough interest on your savings account like you would have gotten 15 years ago because of these policies. And just to be aware of that, think about how you make financial decisions based on that. For example, if your bank, like Chase, is only paying 0.25% of interest on your savings account, basically for your money, plus it's charging a fee, well, maybe it's to put your money at like an online account like Ally or American Express or whatever, where you can lease it closer to 2% and not give them that money just for free. So, I mean, there's things you can do for being aware that can actually help your own financial situation.
Interesting. Sure. What is the alternative? Now, I guess you mentioned one here, but do you recommend basically just avoiding the major banks, not having your money in them, not dealing with the stock market? What are your recommendations on that?
Well, I mean, it depends what you need. If you have a mortgage with banks, it might be really hard for you to change your mortgage, and you have to deal with your own reality. However, you
right.
have your savings with a bank that offers you, you know, 10 times the interest that Chase does. So it's really a question of being aware of what works for you, and to the extent you can protect your money, to definitely go and do that.
Sure, that makes sense. Is there any, do you feel that there is any with the research, massive research, you've done an expert, great research, is there any ties politically to what you've discovered? Is it, you know, some people have accused this group or these groups of being almost, you know, like Nazis or, you know, so-called, you know, I guess new term for the alt-right or some of the right is using or globalist. What is your viewpoint politically on this group of, you know, the central bankers?
They're pretty apolitical. I mean, there's people on the right and on the left. It's not actually, it's not what
they're. Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, it is. It is an interesting group of people. But I do talk about a lot of the specifics in the book, you know, just the actual real individuals as well who are engaged in these positions.
Exactly. Well, it's a fascinating book. And Nomi, I could just, you know, I love hearing you speak and your book, I can tell. I mean, you've lived this and it's quite incredible. Any other thoughts or comments you'd like to share with our listeners here before we wrap up? I know your time is pressed.
I do. Obviously, it is my book, but I would like to say to listeners, you know, that Collusion was a tough book to write. I really did spend a lot of time in a lot of places, as well as, again, working with people from different places to try and really aggregate what's happened in the last 10 years, from the financial crisis to now, how that impacts people, who's involved. And I just, you know, I would like to share that, with your listeners.
Well, that's awesome. Nomi, did you ever need a bodyguard? I'm sure. I hope not. Just kidding.
Only occasionally.
Well, I had the pleasure to meet you, and you're just, I think you're a great person. You're doing great work, and thank you for all you're doing, getting the truth out there. Folks, Nomi Prinz, author of All of the President's Bankers, How Central Bankers Rigged the World. Collusion is the title of her new book. Get it today in bookstores, local. You can also visit Nomi Prinz, PRINS.com. Nomi, thank you so much for being with us here today. We hope you come back soon.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thank you. Bye-bye.